Eternal Father, bless us as we worship. May our thoughts of Thee bring warmth and joy and peace and assurance. May our deepening insight of Thy care for us induce us to worship in spirit and truth. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There are many expressions in the Scriptures that underline the truth that God's people should be filled with the Spirit. And I suggest that we spend a thoughtful half hour considering the implications, the conditions, and the results of this so vital requirement that God has given to us. And I would suggest that we follow some passages as a background for our thoughts. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, the apostle admonishes us to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. This sounds like a contradiction. Something passes knowledge and yet should fill us. This, of course, is true in many experiences in life. It's very hard to put the finger of complete knowledge on moments of real ecstasy. And yet, while we do not understand, we can be appreciative, and as far as our receptive ability goes, be full. Turning the page to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. The end of verse 18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God." This is a result of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Have you ever felt the joy on a spring morning when you're frustrated that you're ease with words so clumsy that you cannot put into poetry the sentiments you feel? Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. The result of being filled with the Spirit. Now this, as we read these passages one after the other, we feel a certain wistful lack. Let another part of our minds be lifted up to God and say, "Father, fill me, that this result might flow in me and out of me." Verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Another result of being filled is gratitude. Giving thanks, notice the next two modifying words, always for all things. Do you have periods of deep and Sometimes you think uncontrolled depression. Do you look on circumstances of life with questioning doubt? Can you give thanks always for all things? This is another result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. What does this word submit mean? Well, etymologically, as I have pointed out several times before, it comes from two Latin words, mitto, I send, and sub, under. Something sent under. Sub, under, and mit, I send, mitto. Submitting, he says, yourselves unto one another. Verse 21. The picture of this word and the Greek word, hupostasis, hupo is underneath and stasis is to take your stand, is supportive. In 1611, the word submit meant to support, to undergird, to place arms underneath, to uplift. I used to have fun with my daughter, and I have fun with my granddaughter. Get them onto the dining room table or sideboard and tell them to jump. They jump and move back 3 inches and move back 3 inches and move back 3 inches till a chasm great and large is between them. Jump. And they look. Depending on their love and faith and trust, they'll jump. Now there must be loving arms underneath. Or else if you let them land on the carpet or the floor or the cement, next time they won't jump. Submitting, placing yourself underneath, taking a stand beneath, hupostasis, of one another, supportive, encouraging. This is a result of the Spirit. And then Paul goes to list the various breaks in society, the groups in society, and he suggests to them, having put this prelude of being filled with the Spirit, what should be the result? Verse 21, having said that we must submit ourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord, he says, now wives, do the same thing. Take your stand to support the programs and plans worked out with your husband. That's verse 22. Verse 23, husbands, in your relationship, 6:1, children, as you respond. Verse 4, parents, fathers and mothers. Verse 5, servants. Verse 9, masters. This is the whole gamut of society. Employers, employees, children, parents, husbands, wives. Having been filled with the Spirit, get supportive of one another. Become cooperative. Make friends. Now, sometimes I get a very irate phone call in which a voice that I cannot put a name to claims that this church, for example, may be a very unfriendly church. Now, let's say for argument's sake, we have 1,000 of us here worshiping this morning. I haven't any idea how many are, but say 1,000. Now, a visitor coming into that group I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but I'll make a prophecy, will not be recognized as a visitor by many hundreds of us. And some of us who might think they are visitors may be a little reticent to go up to them and say, "Are you a visitor?" to be greeted by, "No, I've been here since 1922. Now, if you don't think that that happens, try it a few times. Are you a visitor here? And the steely, stern look that you will receive will be more eloquent than words. "No, I've been here since 1922. I was here before the church burned down. By that time, they're in, settling into a pew that they've owned for the last quarter of a century." Now, the next stranger that you see coming, you may be a little reticent to visit. And so you will pretend you are a stranger, and you will go to your pew. Now, if you've got a solution of this quandary, please write it out on the back of a 3x5 card and share it with me. What are you going to do? And so the genuine stranger that is comes in here is met by that kind of response, half afraid, half knowing. And he says, "This place is very cold." Well, now, may I make a suggestion to strangers who know themselves strangers? When you come in here, say, "My name is John Doe, and I've never been here before." And you will be hugged by the next 25 people that meet you. I may have miscounted the number, but you let me know how many people greet you, if you'll only tell them that. They just don't know. Now, if you think they ought to have some sixth sense, pray for it. They might develop it. Well, that's the suggestion that I would make. That's what I go when I go into a church that I've never been before. "My name is Harding. Here's my wife. We're visiting you here today." And we're given the red carpet tour of everything from the attic to the basement. Now, when I greet somebody that doesn't know me or that should know me, I say, "My name is Harding." "Oh, yeah, I know that." That lets them off the hook in case they've forgotten it. And if you think they never forget it, have you ever forgotten a name? "Where did I meet that person? Was it in Tacoma Park, or was it in Washington, D.C., or was it in Tampa, Florida, or was it in Lincoln, Nebraska?" "Oh, no, it was in Glendale City Church last week." Support one another if you're filled with the Spirit. If you meet somebody and you doubt their name, give them yours. And then they'll give you theirs. And thus you build up. This is the problem that I face too. I meet a lot of people. And my forgettery is just as efficient as yours. I don't want to insult anyone, but I forget just as much as you forget, and I sympathize with you and sympathize with all the other folk here. And when sometime you want to visit some other church, as you do, do that. That's the easiest method. "My name is so-and-so." Just go right into it, make friends, let them know. Support one another in the fear of the Lord. You're part of a great family, all filled with the Spirit, seeking to build up and support. Now let's think of some persons who were filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 11, verse 24. Acts 11, 24. The "he" goes to the antecedent in verse 22, to Barnabas. Barnabas. "He was a good man, full of the Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful epitaph to have? Here's somebody full of the Spirit. It first makes him a good man. A good man. Full of faith. And to him were attracted many into the faith. Being filled with the Spirit makes us attractive, and through us, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 7, verse 55. Stephen, he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. See what happens when Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit? His vision of the glory of God was enlarged. His focus was on Jesus, the center of that glory. What is the glory of God? Self-sacrificing love. Desire of ages. Self-sacrificing love. Glory. It grows out of reputation. We needed to get the watch repaired 2-3 weeks ago. Pastor Goffer says, I know the very man. And as he talked, he had had experience with him. His efficiency, his honesty, his thoroughness. Fine. So the watch was taken and the watch is repaired. Sticking away as it should do. This man had glory accruing to his name because of his efficiency as a watchmaker. God has glory accruing to him because of his self-sacrificing love. And I mention those two words, self-sacrificing and love, and I have embraced the total picture of creation and redemption. They give him glory because for thy pleasure we are and were created. That's the old song. And they sang a new song, thou art worthy for glory, for thou hast redeemed us to God from among men. The love that enlarged the family in creation. The love that redeemed the prodigals in that family through redemption. Focus a glory on the face of God that will never be dimmed in eternity. And when Stephen was filled with the Spirit, he looked up from the earth and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What was he surrounded with? A lynching mob. You count out in the 7th chapter how long it would take him to make that speech. 4 minutes. His end was there. This was the last thing he said. Filled with the Holy Spirit. The gnashing of teeth he could hear. The fiery, fierce anger of the eyes he could see. The clenched fists on those rocks that were about to destroy him. He could see white on their knuckles. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, he looks above his enemies. His ears are not focusing on the harsh cries and the denunciations and the hatred. He can look up and see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Luke 1, verse 15. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. a child may be filled with the Holy Ghost. From his source, from his birth, from his mother's womb. What a principle is noted in this. Think about it for a moment. A babe unborn. The dream and the longing and the prayer of his father and his mother. The joy and the celebration when dimly his coming is felt. The prayers and the plans and the discussions that in the warmth of his growth, yet unseen, are shared by his parents and by himself. And then the morning or the night of his first cry, and the gladness and the dedication and the song and the prayer, and the warmth and the quietness and the softness of his first meal, and his growth in the human cradle of arms, an atmosphere. And the child grew and was full of the Holy Ghost. Think of the contrast. The anger, the frustration, the disgust, the hatred of the unwanted knowledge of his possibility. Of the resentment of the narrowing selfishness of his growth as he grows to visibility. The unavoidable mouth that must be fed in hostility and anger. And the child grows up full of another spirit from his mother's womb. Verse 41 of this same chapter. Let's think about the mother. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the father, verse 67, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. The mother was filled with the Holy Ghost and sang in rapture. The father was filled with the Holy Ghost, and his word was a prophetic message. And the little boy, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, grew to be the greatest of the prophets and the first martyr, filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4:8. The character here presented is well known to us. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let your mind fly back over the experience of Peter from the first time you meet him by the ships at Capernaum. Listen to his bombast, his sincere avowals, his craven denials, his sobbing confession, his ringing testimonial. and his transforming sermon on Pentecost. And watch the pathway he has climbed from the pit to the summit. And then realize this was because he had allowed himself to be filled with the Spirit. Come back to Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look once again at verses 18 and 19. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, now superficially, this sounds like an absurd contrast. There are two kinds of spirit. One is spirituous liquors, and the other is the Holy Spirit. And he says, don't be so drunk with wine. Don't do that. Well, now what happens when a man is drunk? Does he sing? Sure he sings. Does he bear his testimony? Sure, on the topic he's most interested in himself. What does he do? Does he pull down inhibitions to make that testimony? Sure he does. He's the most friendly man in the bar. He's the bravest. He's the greatest. He's the most loving. He's the friendliest. He's drunk as a lord. Don't tell him that because he might punch you in the nose. That's the only thing he doesn't believe about himself. You could tell him anything else and he'd believe it, but that he won't. Don't be drunk, but on the contrast, be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's very remarkable that on the day of Pentecost at 9 o'clock in the morning, when the disciples preached and thousands turned, that they were accused of being drunk. These men are drunk with new wine. Peter says, uh-uh. We're not drunk. We're not drunk. We're happy. We're uninhibited. We're free. We're friendly. We're loving. We're open. But we're not drunk with wine. We're filled with the Spirit. And very strangely, Paul takes this remote analogy of being drunk and contrasts it with being drunk with the Spirit. In verse 17, be not unwise, but understand. Now the word for unwise is with your frontal lobes neutralized. See, that's the first thing drink does. That's what the word is. Look up that word sometime and you will find it with your frontal lobes inhibited. He said, don't be like that. Keep all the powers of your reasoning clear and vivid and vital. Understand. But with your frontal nerves functioning 100%, contrast with drink and sobriety, be filled with the Spirit. Now this verb that he uses here, be filled with the Spirit, is present imperative. And in this being filled we have a part. It's present, therefore it's continuous. This is a continuous state that we must seek to maintain by our voluntary choice. Be filled with the Spirit. And the same word in the noun, pleroma, in Jesus Christ was the fullness of God. So the loveliness of our Father through the Holy Spirit should fill us and pervade us by our own choice continuously. The results: songs, witnessing, supportive, kindness in all the walks of life, whatever we have been. Peter, and Stephen and John, Elizabeth, fathers, mothers, babes, children, husbands, wives, filled with the Spirit, supportive of each other, choosing continually to make that, with our intelligence, our frontal lobes functioning beautifully, but with the restraints of society, the inhibiting factors of life that preclude our witnessing and supporting and being friendly, removed. Be filled with the Spirit. This is the picture that God offers to us in Jesus Christ. Not by might, nor by power, not by organization, not by strength, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The light of the candlestick, the witness of the two witnesses, the support of every member of the family and every part of the society to establish the purposes of the glory of God in self-sacrificing love. These all become possible. These all become realities. If we would pray this hour, Lord, fill me. Fill me with thy Spirit. Eternal Father, by thy Spirit, fill us. By his loving presence, transform us. By his supportive grace, uphold us. By his still small voice, direct us. That in our families, in our church, in society, we may be laborers together with thee for the blessing of mankind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.